My dearly beloved in Christ, it certainly is fitting that we have this gospel of rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God, that we have it right before Election Day. Because it reminds us of the fact that we are citizens of a political entity, a particular country, and at the same time we are also citizens of, so to speak, the heavenly country, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, members of the mystical body of Christ. And we look at today's gospel and we see the craftiness, the dishonesty, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees who pretended to be so impressed with our Lord. They gathered together to plot how they might trap him in his speech. And they came up with this idea that they thought was the perfect question, where they could get him, you might say, whichever side he chose. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? If he said yes, then the people would dislike that. The Jewish people, by and large, hated the Roman oppression, the idea of a foreign government having dominion over them. They had had their freedom for so many centuries, and having to pay tribute to this foreign government, a pagan government. The Jewish people disliked that intensely. So if our Lord said, yes, pay tribute to Caesar, they thought they could discredit him with the people. But if he said, no, don't pay tribute, they would go to Pilate and say, see, he's stirring up rebellion against the Roman government, against the Roman authority. So as I said, they thought they had him. The perfect question. And so the Pharisees, who devised this question, it says they sent their disciples with the Herodians to ask the question. Now, who were the Herodians? They were members of leaders of the people who agreed with and supported the Roman government. The name comes from Herod, because Herod was the Roman representative up until his death. And so those who liked that idea and supported tribute to the Roman government, they were called Herodians. And notice the Pharisees, who disliked Roman rule, sent their disciples along with the Herodians. And they begin with flattery. They thought by flattery they would disarm our Lord. So he would slip up in his speech. He would say something that he might have not said in a more guarded moment. So we know that you do not regard men. You do not care about what people think of you. They began to praise him, to flatter him. And then they spring the question. And the gospel says that our Lord, knowing their wickedness, he answered the question, but he first said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? He made it clear that he saw through their sham honoring him. He saw the wickedness in their hearts. Why do you test me, you hypocrites? And then he said, show me a coin of the tribute. Well, one of them produced the coin right away. And already he had them. Because he showed that they didn't like the idea of tribute to the Roman government, but they were using the Roman coins. This man had the coin on his person. Our Lord didn't. He said, show me the coin of the tribute. So he produced it. And our Lord said, whose are the image and the inscription? And they said, Caesar's. And then he said those famous words, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So our Lord completely confounded them, despite their crafty question. But he also taught us, in those words, a very important lesson. And that is, we are citizens of a political entity in this world. We can't just turn a blind eye to political concerns because of the fact that our main concern is to get to heaven. It is. But we also must live in this world. And as Catholics, we should want, through our prayers and our efforts, to bring about the most desirable political structure, to bring about just laws, the public acknowledgement of morality and obedience to God's holy will, to His laws. So we should want to do what we can in that regard. We shouldn't throw up our hands and say, things are so bad, there's no point in trying, etc. Now, we have been reading a very interesting book at the seminary. At least for me, it's fascinating. And the title of the book is The White Fathers. Now, the White Fathers were a religious order founded by Cardinal Lavigery at the time before he was a cardinal. He was a bishop. And as a young bishop, he was a bishop of a diocese in France. But then later, he was sent by the Pope to be the bishop of Algiers. Now, you know that during the 19th century, the various European governments carved up Africa. It finally began to be explored. And so the European countries wanted to have a colony in Africa to be able to obtain the resources from that continent. And so the different European countries again claimed different areas, established colonies, sent members from their country and military and leaders and so forth to inhabit that particular part of the continent and make it a colony of their country. While the French had a colony in Algeria, northern Africa. And so Cardinal Lavigery was a bishop of that see, Algiers, and his only parishioners were really the French who lived there, because the people were Muslims, not very easily converted. But Cardinal Lavigery had a tremendous zeal for the conversion of the Muslims in Algeria, but also the entire continent. And he founded a religious order called the White Fathers. That wasn't their official name, but that's what they were called because of the white habit. They also wore a 15-decade rosary around their necks. And these men were incredibly self-sacrificing. They knew that they likely would die of some disease. There was malaria, these different diseases. And yet they dedicate their lives to spread the gospel to the dark continent, as it was called. And many of them did die young of various diseases and so forth. There were also white sisters. But this Cardinal Lavigery founded this order, and it was predominantly French vocations that came and went to Africa. But he needed financial support. He obtained that from France. He would go back to France and tour the country and promote his missions and seek for financial assistance for the missions in Africa. Well, as time went on, Cardinal Lavigery recognized this, as did the Pope, Pope Leo XIII, that the French Catholics were neglecting to participate in the political process. And the reason why they neglected to do so was because, by and large, the Catholics in France were monarchists. And by that we mean they detested the Republic, which was the form of government at that time. They wanted to return to the monarchy. But because they wanted this return to the monarchy, they weren't using their right to vote. They were, so to speak, boycotting the government. And as a result, anti-Catholic politicians got into positions of authority and enacted laws that persecuted the church. And Cardinal Lavigery visited the Pope and was discussing this. And the Pope recognized it, as he did. And the Pope said, I need someone to go and tell the French people, the Catholics in France, that they need to recognize reality. That the government in France is now a republic. It's been for however many decades. There's no likelihood of it falling and being replaced by a monarchy. So even though they prefer a monarchy, they need to get involved and use their right to vote. And Cardinal Lavigery said, well, who are you going to have to give them that message? And he looked at him and said, you. And Cardinal Lavigery did not want to do it because he knew that The people weren't ready to hear that. They needed to hear it, but they weren't ready to hear it. And as a result, the funding for his missions would drop drastically, which is exactly what happened. And the Pope said, well, I cannot do it for various reasons. The Pope said, I'm not able to do it at this time. I need you to do it. And so he said, I'll leave it up to you when and where and under what circumstances to get that message across. So Cardinal Le Vigery thought about it. He thought of writing an editorial, an opinion piece to be published in a French newspaper. But he finally chose, as the circumstances to give this message, a meeting or a luncheon in Algiers for the officers of the French fleet in the Mediterranean. They were coming to port in Algiers, and the admiral was a Catholic. Most of the officers were Catholics. So this was the opportunity. And at the luncheon, he gave a toast. And he gave this well-prepared speech saying just that, that we need to face reality. We need to realize that the government is a republican form of government, and you have a right to vote. And even though you don't like that form of government, if you don't vote, bad people are going to get in positions of control. They're not going to be able, they're not going to be favorable to the church, and you're not going to be able to influence getting the better politicians into positions of authority if you're not participating. Well, the admiral was so angry. He was so incensed by these remarks, he put down his glass and walked out of the room. And then his officers all followed him. And then bishops in France began to denounce Cardinal Le Vigery because of the fact that their parishioners, by and large, didn't like the Republic. They didn't want to hear it. And so his donations, his financial support for his missions dropped drastically. But interestingly, they began to think about it. And one by one, these bishops in France and leading Catholics began to realize he's right. And then after a couple years, Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical to the bishops of France telling them exactly what Cardinal Le Vigery had said, and that you need to get involved and use your right to vote and do what you can to influence government so that better politicians, not necessarily Catholics, but those that are more favorable to the church and to morality and just laws, will get into positions of authority. Well, after a couple years, Cardinal Le Vigery received a letter from the bishops of France, well, at least a large number of bishops, and five cardinals signed the letter apologizing to him that he was right, and they denounced him at the time because they weren't thinking things through. They weren't seeing reality, and they saw the wisdom of what he said. So the lesson there is that we are citizens of a political entity, a particular style of government, a particular type of government, and so we have to use the ability we have to get the better candidates into positions of authority. We do what we can and not just, again, throw up our hands in despair. And we also pray, and we ought to pray daily for our country and for our fellow citizens, for the conversion of America. So we're citizens of a political entity, and we are also citizens, members of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ. And as such, we seek also to be faithful and loyal members of the church. We just had the beautiful Feast of Christ the King last Sunday, where we reflect upon our duty as subjects of Christ our King to obey his laws, to seek to further his kingdom on earth, the Holy Catholic Church. So these are all the lessons contained in those brief words of our Lord: give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Obviously, our primary purpose in life is to get to heaven. Our primary purpose is to take care of our soul, which will live forever, our spiritual life. But we can't neglect the fact that we also live We're human beings who live in a political entity, and we want to do everything we can to bring about just laws and to bring about the reign of Christ the King in society by our behavior, the way we live, our example, by our prayers, and then also by good citizenship, especially voting, informing ourselves, and then voting for the better candidates. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.